This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer. A free-for-all Friday.
You're asking to hear something I don't want to say. But if I do say it, I think you ought to hear it.
You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
All right, then you asked for it.
Yes, we did. So lay it on us. Free-for-all Friday means you set the tone. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Good afternoon and welcome to this Free-for-All Friday taking place on International Women's Day. Are you doing anything to mark that? And do you have any thoughts about how far we've come? Personally, I remember my first full-time job quite a long time ago, and it was as a reporter for the Associated Press. And they actually told me in the bureau chief said, well, I got the guys together and asked if it would be okay to hire a woman. And it would be okay, but we have to give you cab fare when you have a night shift. So I took the cab fare. But you couldn't say anything like that now. A lot of things, though, have not changed, especially in other parts of the world. And this week, just ahead of International Women's Day, a UN body found evidence, or reasonable evidence, as they called it, that there was systematic sexual violence in the Hamas October 7th attack, which they shot video of and then proceeded to erase and deny. And a lot of people say that now that at least a UN body has said something about it, it might be addressed. Moving right along here at home, we have seen more and more of these anti-Israel, pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian protests that basically are getting to be harassment of people. We all believe in the right to protest. That is absolutely a democratic right. But last night, there were almost clashes between two, there were pro-Palestinians, and they were trying to get an event at a synagogue in Thornhill canceled. They were harassing people going in, and then there were people on the other side. Of course, last weekend, the government, the prime minister, canceled an event with the prime minister of Italy because he felt that it was unsafe to get into the Art Gallery of Ontario where this gala was. I've seen tweets from people who were invited and who were very disappointed. And they said, where was the security? Where are the cops? Normally with state occasions like that, you see a lot of security. And that would not have been allowed to happen. And of course, there is a big safety issue. So what do you think about the way the police are handling this? Are they being tough enough when protesters cross the line? Because as we said, no problem with people protesting. That is their democratic right. And also, as you heard, as we talked about with our medical panel on Wednesday, now a billion people around the world are considered to be obese, and that has huge health consequences. Do you have anything to say about that? Again, the numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And let us begin with Jerry and Markham. Hi, Jerry.
Good afternoon, Libby.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
The reason I'm talking with you today is to bring some attention to a complex that Loblaws has been working on for several months now. Sometime in 2024, they will be opening up their new distribution center at the junction of 404 and Green Lane. And this is a complex that will make the Ontario Food Terminal look like a corner store. And having encountered some of the traffic that exists on the 404 late afternoon, it's going to be kind of interesting once the transport trucks start wheeling in from various areas, taking up, well, let's say not just the 404, but Woodbine Avenue. And then, of course, there's Highway 48, which already has issues with gravel trucks going back and forth northeast of Toronto. So the thing is, we don't have the infrastructure with the roads right now to deal with a lot of the excess traffic at rush hour. What's going to happen once these transport trucks start coming in from all different sides of Green Lane and 404? And, well, it is, after all, Loblaw, so they'll use this as an opportunity to promote the fact that they'll be creating local employment and so on.
But you know, it's as if you know, Jerry, thank you for bringing that to our attention. Traffic in the city and in the GTA is really difficult, and it seems to be getting worse by the minute. And that whole issue of things being built without the infrastructure that's needed to support them, well, that's also a big problem that we have. Thanks for your call. Let us go to Michelle in Georgetown. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Libby. Good afternoon. It's so good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Go ahead. Let's hear yours.
Okay. I guess I'm concerned because I think I follow politics and I listen a lot to talk shows and everything. But what burns me is this new thing that's going around on the internet about a carbon fee being added to your bill at restaurants, and I don't remember ever hearing about it, and I don't. It's a 2% charge, and I'm like, wow. So, do you know anything about that?
No, not really. I mean, there's carbon tax that has just gone up on everything, so you know, you can see it going. I think it's a separate charge. It's the first I've heard of it, though it can be another reason for another thing to go up yet again.
What I saw was a picture of somebody's bill at an Italian restaurant, a well-known one in the Toronto area, that at the end of the bill, in the tax section, there was a separate line of a 2% carbon enviro fee or whatever, and in brackets it said 2%, and I'm like, wow, nobody's talking about it this week, and I was like, okay.
It might be something that they just did, but you know what, we will look into it, and thank you very much for bringing that to our attention. And let us go to Sheila in Mississauga. Hello, Sheila.
Hi, Libby. Happy Women's Day to all around the world, all the women who work very hard but never acknowledged for their work. So all the best to all of us. And in regards to all this demonstration and what's going around in the world leaders must wake up, because this is not something that has to be taken lightly. It is getting to a point where we are hold hostages everywhere. We are not safe anywhere anymore. And the world leaders better wake up soon. Change the law right away, not wait for tomorrow, right away.
Okay. Thank you for that. Helen in Toronto, you also want to talk about the protests. Hello.
Absolutely. The protests are not being handled as they should by a police department. We have the laws. They asked for more money. They got more money. Where are they? Why have more charges not been laid? I mean, as the lady before said, we are being held hostage because somebody up the food chain, I think, has allowed the police not to take more action. To me, it's disgusting. And, you know, to have it at all these religious places and community places, they know exactly where to get us. They know how to get us. And one day it's going to end up in a couple of people's homes. It's just disgusting that the police, with the extra funds, have not deployed additional people.
Well, they have. To be fair to them, they have deployed additional people. The question is it enough? There have been occasions when they said it was unsafe or the officers on the ground, they can use their judgment about whether they can arrest people. There have been cases when there have been a couple of officers and the protesters surrounded them saying, let her go, let her go. There's a lot of criticism about the way the police have handled this for sure. And, you know, it's not just here. I mean, yesterday, these protesters held up the president's motorcade when he was on the way to give the State of the Union address. So they have got it down and they don't have the right boundaries. But yes, lots of criticism of the way the police have handled this. Thank you, Helen, for your call. Now let's go to Darren in Wasega Beach. Hello, Darren.
Hi, Libby. To update what that other caller was discussing, this restaurant 2% carbon tax, what it is it's a 2% carbon tax at one restaurant franchise known as Goodfellas. So my understanding is that's the only one doing it. I know this because this was just being discussed on some other talk show I was listening to, and the callers were not happy about it, with some saying they will never eat at Goodfellas again. So it may be very temporary that they have it until they drop it if they find people are no longer visiting their restaurants.
Yeah, I mean, some places, in order to make a point about a tax that we all pay, they're highlighting it, or I don't know, they think that their customers like a carbon tax. I hadn't heard of it. I've never been to that restaurant chain, and you're right. You vote with your feet. If you don't like either the food or the bill or whatever it is, then don't go back. But yeah, that seems like it's a bit much, because the federal government did not announce a special restaurant carbon tax, though. Wait for it. We're getting a budget very soon from the finance minister. Now, going into an election, even though it is a ways away, I don't think that they're going to put a number of things in there that will make people really mad. I think there's more of a likelihood that they will spend money that we don't have, but we will wait and see. Thank you very much for that. Okay. Brad in Holland Landing. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Libby. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, thanks. I just wanted to comment. Well, I had a couple of comments. The first one's about the protesters. Like, could we hire these protesters to, like, go and do some tax protests instead of their beliefs protests? I think that's what the government needs to see, is everybody stand up against them and say, we've had enough of your carbon tax. All these taxes. You know, Brian Mulroney died. Maybe we should jack the GST up a point or two in honor of him. It's just, it's ridiculous how these politicians just keep sloughing us off, and we're the ones that are paying for it and going to pay for it, and our kids are going to pay for it. So that was my first comment. And the second one was about the Loblaws distribution center in East Gwembleberry. Yeah, it's going to be havoc up there once all these, I don't know, 300-400 trucks a day going to roll in and out of that place. Yeah, that's really bad that they didn't put the infrastructure in place before they did it. But I'm sure the former CAO, Tom Webster, got a little kickback from Loblaws to let them build that. So those are my comments. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you for that, though. No comments about kickbacks. We don't know about that. We don't really want to libel anybody. There's enough negative things to say about that without doing that. So let's get that straight. I'm looking at the clock. It's time for our first break. Let me give the numbers out again before we go to the break. We've been talking about protests. We've been talking about International Women's Day. This new Loblaw distribution center that is apparently going to make traffic a lot worse. The numbers, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740, and we'll be right back after the break.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer.
When one considers the meaning of life, it is a struggle between alternative viewpoints of life itself.
A free-for-all Friday.
And without the ability to defend one's own viewpoint against other, perhaps more aggressive ideologies, then reasonableness and moderation could quite simply disappear.
Name your topic and be as deep as you like, as long as there's a point in there somewhere. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free For All Friday. Of course, it's the day where we talk about what you want to talk about. And a lot of people want to talk about those protests. Let's go to Sam in Toronto. Hi, Sam.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'd like to make a comment on these protests. They're not random. They're not accidental. They're extremely well organized, well developed, and well designed. And where there's that kind of organization, there is money. And if you remember the truckers' protest last year in Ottawa, although I disagreed with Trudeau's use of the War Measures Act, regardless, once he cut off the funding, the whole thing collapsed. I'd like to know why nobody's looking into where the money is coming from to fund these protests. And they're growing, so the funding must be growing. Where's that money coming from?
Well, there have been some reports about the money, and some of these groups, which are allegedly student groups, are getting money from places like Qatar. Some of these groups are related to Iran, I believe. But yes, so I forget the exact name of the Students for Palestine or something like that. Well, where are they getting their money? There are definitely allegations that a lot of these protesters are just being paid.
And the thing of it is, this is foreign interference in Canadian domestic affairs. They should not be allowed to get foreign money. To just the same way the truckers were cut off from their foreign money, because that money came from the States. These people should not be getting money, and this is purely driven by economics and a lot of black money. That's my opinion.
Okay, thanks for that. I think there should be more research into that, but yes, and the money probably would, you know, it looks like money coming to support a students' organization or something, and then it gets used for this. And we haven't had a very good track record about looking into foreign interference of any kind. The inquiry on Parliament Hill is not being very effective. Some organizations are actually afraid to participate because some of the people who have standing there, they believe have ties to China. So it's groups like the Hong Kong Democracy Group. They don't want to go and tell about everything they know of when, for instance, one of the senators, Wen Pao-Wu, who is believed to be very close to China, is there. They're afraid. So, you know, we were supposed to look into all of this foreign interference, and I don't think we're doing a very effective job of that. Let us go to Kathy in Toronto. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Libby. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm very disturbed by these protests. I think they're out of control and out of hand. And I think Sam's right. There's got to be money behind it. And I don't understand why they think they're benefiting Gaza in this country where we have really no influence in the Middle East. To be honest, we really don't. We really don't have a say. I don't understand it. I think the best thing that could happen is the media stop covering it, because the more publicity they get, the more agitated they seem to become, and their mission has changed substantially since October 7th, since the protests, and they're forgetting about what started it all. I really am disturbed by it, and I don't know what the answer is, but I can't even watch it anymore. I can't support either side. I just am lost with it. Really, it's very, very discouraging.
Okay, thank you for that. Let's go to Ron in Guelph. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Libby. Thanks for taking my call. I just said to Zeev, Sam took a lot of the wind out of my sails on what I was going to comment about, but much of it is exactly the same. This is too well organized. Now, I can remember I came on the show on the Tuesday after the Thanksgiving weekend, which was after the October 7th, and I said, I remember at the time, I said, these protests were too well organized after the soon after the fact to have not been organized before the event actually took happen. And I think it was Brian Kinsella who actually said that now this thing was organized, these protests were organized before the event by the Hamas actually took place.
Okay, Ron, thanks for that. Let's go to Rocky, and he is in Rexdale. Rocky in Rexdale. Hello, Rocky.
How you doing, Libby? Listen, that few callers back about this Goodfellas. They're fantastic restaurants. But what bothers me is where the caller said 2%. Are you really worried about this 2%? We've got more problems than 2%. We got Loblaws. We got gas. And don't go to them. If you're not going to go to a place like Goodfellas, and don't go get gas. Don't go to Loblaws. I mean, we got more problems, more things to think about than 2%. This restaurant, go to it. They got the best burgers you've ever eaten. I'm sorry, but that's the way I feel.
Okay, well, I'm sure you're going there and enjoying it, and that's the most important thing. Thanks for your call. Let us go to Henry in Guelph.
Hi, Libby. It's Henry in Guelph. I'd like to know what your listeners think about paying the Governor General $363,000 a year plus perks. I'd just like to know if anybody feels like me. This is not good. Can I hang up now? Thank you.
You can hang up now. The salary, obviously you have looked it up, but then there's also a question of expenses. Some of those expenses are pretty eye-popping. Anyway, let me give the numbers out again. 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. We've been talking about protests. We've been talking about this restaurant chain with a 2% carbon surcharge. If it bothers you, don't go there. If it doesn't bother you, and like our last caller, you like the burgers, go there. I mean, people sometimes have ideological reasons for doing something like that, for designating it like that. I don't know. I haven't talked to the owners of that restaurant, but I don't know. I think the last caller is also right. It's not the top thing on my radar anyway. And let's go to Shell in Kingston. Hi, Shell.
Hi, Libby. I want to just mention the carbon thing on the restaurant bill. In my opinion, the tipping is one thing there. I feel it's totally out of control in Canada. And I think that putting another 2% on that for whatever reason, which is a surprise I would have gathered at the end of the when they got their bill, I would not condone that at all. And I also feel that if you can't afford to pay your staff, then maybe you can't afford to be in business. Because I don't like to be pushed into leaving a tip. You see it on the debit card machine, and I think that that's rude. And I don't even go out for lunch now because I refuse to do that, and the 2% just makes me see red. And the other thing, even probably more importantly, is the new federal dental plan. So what they don't tell you is they will not be paying your current dentist whatever his fee is. It's going to be a good deal less. And if he doesn't sign up for the plan, or she, I can't go to them if I did.
Well, that's right. That's right. We have reported that. I mean, that that plan is far from being sorted out, but it's an opt-in or opt-out plan, and you can only go to dentists who have opted in. And I haven't looked at the fee schedule itself. I've been told that the fees they are paying or are willing to pay are lower than current fees, but you never know about that. And on the tipping thing, so when these tipping machines, right, when they prompt you, so first of all, it's a tip on top of the tax. And if you were at this Goodfellas restaurant with the extra 2%, you were tipping on top of that extra 2%. And some of that money goes to the app people who make those apps. So it's not just your server. I think, I mean, no one carries cash these days, or almost no one. But if you have some cash for tips, I think that is probably a good option. But a lot of people are really annoyed by this tipping. I haven't heard about it for a while, so maybe we're all getting a bit used to it. But frankly, and thank you for bringing it up, it is still really quite annoying. I'm going to give the numbers out again, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And I watched all of the State of the Union address last night. It was really interesting. Normally, they kind of descend into platitudes and you get kind of bored. And I would think that it would convince anyone who's saying that Biden is too old for the job. Well, he didn't look too old for the job. He was really on his game. He was very forceful. He was quite controversial. He is not somebody who is losing their faculties. If you look at that performance last night, of course, his age has become a huge issue, and it's a little bit ironic. Donald Trump's age is not, and Donald is not that much younger than Biden. So what do you think of that? I was talking to some American pundits the other day, and I said, well, I think it's ageism. They disagreed. They thought it was a legitimate thing to look at. That's up to them. So what do you think of that? Did you watch Joe Biden, and do you have an impression of what that will be like? Let us go to Steve in Brampton. Hi, Steve.
Oh, hi, Libby. How are you?
I'm fine. Go ahead.
I wanted to talk a little bit about something that happened about, you know, this week there's been calls for the chief of police to resign in Toronto over his handling of the protests. And just full disclosure, I'm not a fan of protests for anything, for any reason, but I recognize we live in a democracy and we have to allow those things. But about 12 years ago, I was in White Rock, B.C. on business, and we were watching a hockey game, a playoff hockey game in the evening. And I guess the wrong team lost. I don't follow sports that much. I was just being polite. But I was staying in Vancouver that night. And on the way back into town, there was smoke coming up over the bridge. And one of the fellas said, oh, there must be a bad accident down there. And I said, no, look, there's helicopters, there's smoke. And that was the time when there was riots in the street of Vancouver. I don't know if you remember that. And it was all over this stupid hockey game because I guess the wrong team lost. But my point is this. All of those riots and terrible civil disobedience occurred on the spur of the moment. And yet the Vancouver police were able to assemble resources on very short notice, including the Mounted Division. And by about 2 o'clock in the morning, they had everything on. Now, there was a lot of damage, by the way, to the Bay and other retail stores. But they had quelled the demonstration. They had made arrests. And I was afraid, actually, that the next day there'd be all kinds of news flashes about police brutality, which, by the way, I did not witness. But quite the contrary, everybody was complimentary to the police, and there were actually citizens in Vancouver that went downtown and started cleaning up the mess that said, this is not us, this is not our city, we're ashamed of what happened. And so,
thank you for reminding us about that. On the other hand, again, with Trudeau, he could not go to a restaurant in Vancouver that he wanted to go to, that he had some meetings there, because the protesters prevented him from doing that. And in that case, the Vancouver police didn't or were not able to make it so that he could keep his engagement. So I guess sometimes it works well and sometimes it doesn't, but Vancouver has been affected by these protests as well. Let us go to Ruth in Wasega Beach. Hi, Ruth.
Hello. I'm calling about the tax problem you've been hearing this morning or this afternoon. I watched a program on the Fifth Estate for that exactly, and it isn't a tax, according to them. And they had interviewed quite a few restaurants over this. They just add it on.
Yes, that's what we said. They just add it on. And if you don't like it, then it's not a formal tax. And again, sometimes people highlight certain taxes out of some kind of ideological conviction. I'm not sure what the case is here. Let's go to Brian in Mimico. You want to talk about Joe Biden? Hello, Brian.
Hi, how's everybody's sunny ways going? You know, the problem is not whether Joe Biden is fit for office, too old or anything else. The problem is how he appears to the American people, the people of the rest of the world, the leaders in the rest of the world, and most of all, how he appears to America's enemies. You know, Putin and Russia and Xi in China and the Kim du jour in North Korea. And,
he's a lot more forceful with those enemies than Donald Trump is. Donald Trump obviously has very high regard for Putin and said Putin should just do whatever he wants to any NATO country that is under 2% military spending.
So I'll still,
Joe Biden was very forceful about how to deal with them.
Who might, drop dead tomorrow or whatever. I don't think they take him all that seriously. Yeah, Trump, he may seem like that, but, you know, you pee him off and you know he's going to come right after you. He's not going to allow anybody to cross him or anything else. I don't say he's the greatest choice. I haven't liked what American presidents they've chosen or had running ever since they allowed... I can't remember his name, the young Hillary's husband in power.
Bill Clinton. Thanks for your call, Brian. That was the first note that Joe Biden hit in his State of the Union address last night. It was the danger of Putin. He was very forceful, and he said, if you think Putin will stop at Ukraine, you are mistaken. And as I said before, there was a lot of controversy, but apparently all the people who support Donald Trump didn't really care, where he said, tell Putin just do whatever the heck he wants to any country, any NATO country that does not hit 2% in military spending. And by the way, one of those countries is us. It's Canada. Let us go to Jerry in Richmond Hill. Hi, Jerry.
Canada. Let us go to Jerry in...
Okay, that's something strange is happening there. Jerry, are you there?
Go to Jerry.
Okay, we're going to take a break. Oh, that was Jerry must have had her radio on, and there's a delay, and I heard an echo. So people, if we call you, your radio has to be down, but it is time for our second break. Before we go to break, the numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740, and we'll be back after the break. keep your radio down when we talk to you, and we want to hear what you have to say.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer, a free-for-all Friday. Step up, say your piece, and we promise not to interrupt. Just be lively about it. We have a lot of listeners hanging on your every word. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free for All Friday. And I'm going to try Jerry in Richmond Hill again, but I certainly hope that your radio is down. Hello, Jerry. Try one more time.
Hi,
hello,
Libby.
Jerry.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi, Libby. Okay,
hi.
I cut the radio off. I'm just on my phone. We're mature people. We don't know how to work the phone and the radio at the same time. Sorry about that. Quick thing on tipping. I used to work in a business that was, we got our tips, okay? However, that being said, it's gone out of control. I have a granddaughter who's looking for her tips, but there's so many ways. And I like what you pointed out, pay cash. For two reasons. One, they get their money right away. And two, they don't have to wait for 3-4 weeks, sometimes months, before the owner decides how their tips in the bookkeeping system, when they could have used the tip that night. They give so much to the people in the back, and they can keep the rest for themselves in most restaurants. So
yep.
I think we're doing more, it's a better thing, and we're not getting taxed to death.
Well, I agree with you, and I wonder if cash is starting to come back in vogue. And I know, especially with places that are run by younger people, they don't even take cash. But if you're dealing only in cards and you're a small business and you have to pay all the fees that are associated with it, right? So there are a lot of places, well, they have to take a card, but they'll only take a debit card because there is too much of a fee on a credit card. And they don't want to have to pay it. They have a hard enough time making a living. And you're right with the tips. You have to wait. And then the owner decides how to divvy up the tips. And you hope that you have a good owner who will give everybody what's coming to them. But again, if you hand somebody some cash, they will get the money. And I know there are probably people who are opposed to that. But yeah, thanks for that, Jerry. Okay. Marika in Burlington, you want to talk about the State of the Union? Hello.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm fine. You go ahead. You're on
Great.
The air.
Thank you. I thought Joe Biden gave an amazing performance and powerful, direct. He spoke about the, you know, age, that there's really literally no difference in their age, except that he wants to think from a forward standpoint rather than going back in time. And he said they're facing an existential crisis, which I totally agree with. And I also think that the Republican Party, you could see it, it's just the Trump Party now. You know, it's just really a sad, I'm very happy to be Canadian, by the way, but I think what happens there affects us all. So scary.
Yeah, I got two Trump-related headlines since we've been on the air, since we're talking about what's going on in the States. I think we get too much information about it. Now, I haven't read all the way through, so he's put his people into the key positions with the Republican Party is number one. And he apparently also got a bond. He posted a $91.6 million bond in the defamation case against that he lost to E. Jean Carroll. Remember, the judge says that he owes her $83 million. So he was able to post a bond. I'm curious why anyone gives him money believing that they will get their money back. But yeah. Anyway, Marika, thank you for that. I think, you know, whether you agree with Biden or not, the question that I have is really, why has his age, he is older, become such an issue when it really hasn't for Donald Trump? And I think a part of it is, you know, when he walks, he's really stiff. He's got arthritis. So that's probably part of it. But if you watched him last night, you would not think this is not a man who is losing it mentally. Anyway, let us go to John in Toronto. Also wants to talk about age. Hi, John.
Hi. It's not so much really ageism. I'll speak for myself. It's more so actions. Because when someone's actions contradicts their words, kind of like I think as Dr. Laura Schreslinger would say, I'll change the words a bit, don't urinate on my leg and tell me it's raining, meaning don't tell me you're going to do one thing and do the opposite once you get in. Where was I going with that? Sorry. Oh, when you have, I got caught up quick. Basically, when you pay all these taxes, say, for instance, Olivia Chow or Justin Trudeau, who has two more taxes up their sleeve, throw at it, that's four new taxes on the way. But then when they want to, say, Biden, for instance, he says something like $250,000 to each last arrival. Well, we don't have our own money and can't afford broccoli or fruits or vegetables, that leaves us not really trusting his actions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not really sure what you were referring to, giving people $250,000. But yeah, and as I said, you can agree with him. I mean, first of all, what we have as Canadians have to say doesn't really count, but you can agree with him or not agree with him. The thing that I was pointing out was really, should people be focused on his age? And, you know, people age differently. So you have to look at the person. It's an individual thing. And just watching him giving that really huge, lengthy speech, and he did stumble a few times, but anyone would. And we know that when he was growing up, he had a problem with stuttering that he overcame. So, I'm just questioning whether there should be such a big focus on aging in general. I think that ageism is the last acceptable prejudice, that you don't have to hide it. You can just make rude comments or question people's abilities because they're a bit older. Anyway, and now for something completely different, let's go to Elaine in Peterborough, who wants to talk about the measles. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, it's Eileen, but thank you for taking my call. I just wondered, with this measles, the vaccine, the people should get the vaccine for their children. Not only this anti-vax business. If you've ever seen a child with measles or whooping cough or diphtheria or any of those childhood illnesses, you would not want to wish it on a child at all. Let's get some of those people that are anti-vax, don't want to have their child immunized, put them in a room outside or in the room with the child that is sick with these illnesses, and let's see how they feel about it afterwards, because it is not good. It's not good at all. And I happen to be 7 or 8 years older than my younger sister, so I saw her with all these illnesses. I'd already had them because my brother was a few years older than me, and he'd been to school and brought everything home with him, you know. So I'd already had everything, and I saw this four-year-old, five-year-old, and it's terrible. I mean, you just wouldn't want to wish those things on a child. Plus, there is the after effects, especially measles can cause eye problems. And then, who was that actress? Patricia Neal, her daughter died from encephalitis, swelling of the brain, encephalitis, and it was from measles.
Oh, so it can be devastating. It can be fatal. And it's the virus is apparently, I'm told by our doctors, that it is the most contagious virus that exists.
I mean, you know, that's why, like, when I was young, it was like, as soon as you went to school, you get all these illnesses. So, you know, half the kids in the first year were off school with these illnesses because they just spread like crazy. And my own children actually had rubella at the time because the vaccine hadn't come in. And that was bad enough. You know, and chicken pox. That was bad enough. I wouldn't want to wish anything worse on them. and whooping cough.
I remember having chicken pox, and I think I remember having measles. But back in the day, and our Zoomer audience will remember, people used to take their children and expose them so they would get the disease and hopefully get some immunity. But yeah, it is no joke, and some of this is apparently due to what they call vaccine hesitancy, but also a lot of people are just behind because of the pandemic, and they didn't have a chance to get their kids vaccinated with all the vaccines that they need. Eileen, thank you for reminding us about all of that. These are important things to think about. Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to Bradley in Richmond Hill. Hello, Bradley. Bradley, are you there? Okay, I guess Bradley is not there. Let's go to Roger, and Roger is in Caledon. Hello, Roger in Caledon.
Hey, Libby, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. Enjoying the day here with a nice walk in the afternoon, but my comment, it's, you know, I know it sounds harsh, because people are going to come down on me for this, it's unfair, but I have to agree with the earlier caller that said, you know what, we really don't have that much influence. My comment is, I understand all the protesting, I understand, I appreciate that we're allowed to do that, and I feel they're very passionate about what they're protesting for, but you know what, get them on a plane and send them over to the war zone. You want to go get involved? Go get involved. We can't. Why are they disrupting our society to this extent? They can protest, but to do this and cause so much disruption, you know, take that money we're spending on security at these protests, put them on a plane and send them over to the war if they want to fight, right?
Okay, thanks for that. And let us go to Fran in Toronto. Hi, Fran.
Oh, hi. I just want to talk about just what your caller previously said. These are not peaceful protests. These are protests calling for the death of Jewish people worldwide. And for this to be allowed in our society today, it's just outrageous. And it is a criminal code offense for people to gather more than three people and cause a disturbance. And I don't understand why our government is just looking the other way.
Yeah, those protests they are calling for, there's been a huge spike in anti-Semitism since October the 7th when Hamas launched this massacre and killed 1,200 people and took 250 people hostage. That's what started it all, and the retaliation is costing a lot of people their lives. It is a horrible situation, but these protests, I agree with you, they are not exactly peaceful protests, and the police say that they're investigating to see if there are hate crimes involved, and I can attest that, yes, there are hate crimes involved in all of this. Have you seen any of these protests, Fran?
Yes, I've attended them. In fact, I remember when Premier Ford said after they stormed the Mount Sinai Hospital, and he said, you want to protest, fine, you can do it at Queen's Park, you can do it at City Hall, but not at hospitals. And I also think not at synagogues and not in Jewish neighborhoods.
And
I don't
understand. Not in churches,
why the world,
yeah.
Exactly. The world is so silent. I mean, they're busy worrying about, you know, 2% taxes. There's an existential threat here, and it might start with the Jews, but history has shown that if it starts with the Jews, it doesn't end with the Jews.
Okay, thank you for that. And in terms of those protests in front of the hospital, well, that is illegal because Queen's Park brought in a law saying you can't do that in front of a hospital and impede access, and that was when people were protesting vaccinations and protesting lockdowns. That was during the pandemic. So that one actually is illegal. And people say it should not happen outside a place of worship. I'm looking at the clock. We have a few minutes left. Are we going to end the week on those restaurant taxes? I think so. We're going to Bob in Warkworth. Hi, Bob.
Yes, good afternoon. Just a couple of things in regards to those so-called taxes. Number one, when paying a tip, like I like to pay cash, but I also calculate my tip based on the food amount, not the taxable amount. I don't think it feels fair to pay a tip on taxes.
I agree. That's what we do, though.
Well, I know. If you take the automatic thing on the machine, it calculates in the tax. If you push custom, you can calculate it in your head on your own. The other thing about the so-called carbon tax or whatever they're calling it on these invoices, I don't want to incur anything illegal. However, I would feel that if you're not informed prior to you sitting down at the table, you could probably refuse that and pay the request that that you pay the amount above it or less that tax.
You know, you make a very good point, because it's kind of an invented thing, and people should be told beforehand.
And I don't.
You're going to be charged an extra 2%.
Yeah, and I think, and if the restaurant's using the argument, well, we're trying to offset the carbon tax that we are paying. Well, that's too bad. Build it into your pricing of your menu, I guess, is the best way to do it.
Okay, and those are good tips on tipping. Thank you, Bob.
Okay, you have a great day.
Okay, and everybody, have a great weekend. It's still gorgeous and apparently will be gorgeous until later, until the evening when it's going to start raining, and there's going to be apparently a lot of rain. So this is a good time to get out for a nice walk. That is all the time we have for Fight Back for today and for this week. And I will be back here on Monday, and we will talk then.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.